sure appreciate your prayers. I'd like to look at the 8th proverb tonight. Very interesting scripture to me. It takes the idea of wisdom and personifies it. It puts it into the form of a person. Some make a strong analogy of Jesus in this. I don't know if that's intended in it or not. But it makes it kind of puts it in the form of a woman. First verse says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the pass. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O you simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak the truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth I do hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength." This scripture, talking of wisdom, the whole proverb really is two basic thoughts. One is the wisdom that you and I use to make judgment with. I used earlier in this meeting a definition of wisdom that I like is the one that says to be able to see the results of an action. That's wisdom. A little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands will lead a man to poverty. It's wisdom that says that if I can project an understanding by what I see, that's wisdom. I wish our world had more wisdom. Real wisdom. This wisdom is totally righteous, it said. This wisdom that we are to judge our life by hates evil. It hates hateful things. It hates ugly things. But there's another also of this proverb, if you read on. The other side of this proverb is the wisdom that God created the universe with. You know, there was a great wisdom of God to create the universe. But God created the universe in a certain pattern and way too. Do you know the whole universe has an order?
Yes, it does.
And it is so far beyond our understanding, but if we could, and the more we do understand it, the more we find out that there's something predictable about it. In other words, you can watch it happen and you can understand it, and we can predict, very accurately predict, because it's wisdom. God created the whole universe with wisdom. It has an order to it. It has a way of function to it. We are assuming that if the Lord tarries, that the sun will arise in the morning. And that's predictable. It's predictable because God gave it an order. We will assume that we are already well up into September, and we will assume that October will come, and the weather is going to start changing. We assume, we predict. We predict that because of wisdom. Because God created everything in wisdom and in order. Predictable. You can know what's going to happen but in God's creation. If you understood it, it all is in order. And it all is in a very predictable order. What do you think about, what would you think it would be like that if you go get some seed to plant, let's say corn. You go get some corn seeds, but you really don't know what they'll be. Now the Lord put order in that and said that everything would come forth after its kind. So if I go out and get sweet corn, I can plant that and assume I'm going to get sweet corn. But what if you went and got your seed and it might be a sunflower? Well, it might be a green bean. I mean, you don't know what the seed is. There's no order. It'd be really hard to do things, wouldn't it? It would really be hard to make a crop if I get corn, but it might be a dandelion. Or it might be an oak tree. It could be anything without order. God didn't create things without order. He done it in wisdom, and wisdom speaks of order. It's what wisdom is. It's the order of things and a predictable order of things. Well, what would it be like that the days didn't have order? Let's say we assume and we can look at it and you're going to set your clock. 6:30 is what ours is set for every morning. It goes off 6:30. And by that time, it's starting to get light. But what if it was a haphazard thing? The sun just come around whenever it come around. It just, sometimes it got, nobody could ever look or say, not in God's world. It's predictable. But what would it be like to try to plan a day and we don't know if the sun's going to come at 6:30 or at noon. We don't know. Maybe it ain't even going to come around till tomorrow evening at this time. Then come for a little bit and go away. And no, nothing predictable. It ain't God's world. But what would it be if it was be like that, in order like that? What if it be, well, every day could either be 110 and windy out here, or it could be one of them blowing, snowing days. Or maybe you get one after another, one in this, no seasons, no, or that, no order. That's not God's world. So in this passage of Scripture, He deals with wisdom. And He gives two ideas. One, the wisdom that you and I work with, and the one He created with. But in actuality, they're the same wisdom. It is the same wisdom that we can predict things. And it says here in the start of this Scripture that wisdom crieth in the street. It's proclaiming folks' order. It's trying, it's open and it's obvious. It is trying to say that the functions of God's world is obvious. That if you do certain things, you will reap certain things. If I plant corn, I'll get corn. If I plant peas, I'll get peas. And this is what this is talking about. And if you're in your world, and wisdom's crying tonight, do you know that wisdom still is crying in the streets? Wisdom is still raising its voice. Real wisdom is crying out to the people of this world, and they don't hear it. And it's so often, it is so obvious that you say, why would you do that? One definition of a fool that I heard was is to do the same thing over and over and expect a different result. It won't be a different result. There'll be the same results every time. And why? Because there's order about things. There is an order to life. And so wisdom crieth tonight for your life. It cries for my life. It cries for me to stop and look and understand and know that there's certain things in my life that will, this will come out either to my benefit or to my detriment. And if I don't hate evil, if I don't hate wickedness, if I don't hate those things and love and embrace right and good, there'll be consequences to that. And wisdom will cry it. And man, it has happened over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. It cries, wisdom cries and says, don't go that way. Because if you go that way, oh, how many of the multitudes have went, trod that path of sin, ended up at that destruction, ended up at that place, and it'll do it again and again and again. And it'll do it in the days of Jesus. It did it. And it done it in the days of the apostles. and it done it in the first century church, and it done it after that, and it done that, and it done it 100 years ago, it done it 50 years ago, and it's still doing it today. It is still the same thing. So wisdom is crying tonight, trying to get our attention and our understanding. There's certain things, folks. There's certain things that we need to take heed to. I'm thinking some very familiar stories. We probably all heard some of them. You ever hear of the Donner Party? Named after a man. Back in the old days of the people migrating to the West Coast, left Independence, Missouri, going to go on a long journey. Some of them was going to Oregon. Some of them was going on the trail, going to go to California, to the gold fields. Big wagon train of them come, and there was a man. This is some of the way the history goes. He was a man named Hastings. Hastings had come up with this, the Hastings Cutoff. It was a trail that was supposed to have cut off several hundred miles into the California gold fields. And he mapped the trail out, and this is how you got to go and all that. The only trouble was Hastings had never went on the trail. He never took the trail. Oh, there had been people kind of went that way before, but nobody ever really took a wagon or went a trail there. They just said, here's the way you can do and do that. So they come to this place, and of course these people are anxious to get where they're going, and it's very appealing, the idea of going over there. But when they start come up to the place that they needed to make, most of them went on to the old trail, the longer trail. But some of them, led by a guy named Donner, was going to take the Hastings Cutoff and go it. And there was someone there that warned them and said, you can't cross that. There was a man that had been there. And he said to them, you can't cross that. That isn't a viable trail to get into there. You'll never do it. And he begged them, don't do it. It is a disaster waiting. Don't do it. But they did it anyway. I don't know about those kind of things. Sometimes they're a success in this life. Sometimes they're not. People have risked things and done that. This was a disaster. An absolute disaster. They went something that wasn't tried and proved. They done something that hadn't proved out that it worked. You know, there's a great, great history behind us that it works. There's a way that works. I know it's clouded. It's clouded in our nation, in our world, in this time. The holy way of God is clouded by misrepresentation. It's been misrepresented by those that didn't put their whole heart into it, and it looked like it was something that it wasn't. There's a lot of misrepresentation tonight of the truth. But do you know there is a truth that works? That absolutely works? The Donner Party went on, and they went on to Fort Bridger, and they got to Fort Bridger. They found out, somebody said, I guess it's a good way. I think there's water enough. Maybe some grass for your stock. Maybe you make it that way. And they went on. Wasn't too many days on that they got into a place, and they said that the what moisture was under the ground in the heat of the day would come up, and that a wagon would sink to its hubs out there. Even though they had these strong oxen and all out there, they just couldn't hardly pull those wagons. And they got out there in that hot desert, and they started running out of water, and they wasn't getting anywhere fast. It was doomed from the start. Breakdowns of the way, all this. They had to get through the Sierra Nevada before the snows come at a certain time. And this particular year, the snows comes weeks earlier. Doomed from the start. Never really worked. But you know, wisdom cried. Wisdom cried to those people all the way out about steadiness. About a tried and proved way. About all these things. And yet they didn't heed that. I noticed over the years, Oklahoma is known for its casinos. They're all over the place out here. I guess you folks know that. They're all over the place out here. Now, they're not all over the place at home, but some would like for them to be. And they really try to push that. And I know, you know what they push it with? We would be so much better off as a people up there if we would get casinos. Our schools would have money. We'd have better roads. You know, you could, they tax this stuff and they do all this. You know, since the dawn of time, that gambling has had an evil connotation to it. It attracts the idea of giving yourself to a quick gain, of doing that without proper industry and proper work in a thing to make it valuable and worth something, has always been a negative thing. Wisdom cries that there is something harmful to people in this. Wisdom cries that there's no good in it. Wisdom cries that there's going to be destruction in it. Wisdom cries that people's going to use their last bite instead of feeding their children. We've seen as wisdom have cried, hate evil, hate wrong, don't follow that, don't go there. And yet by the multitudes our world turns to these kind of things for their entertainments, for their riches, to do all of these things. And wisdom cries. Wisdom cries against it, unheard, unheeded. But wisdom cries. And doesn't wisdom cry when we hear of young people in school getting firearms and going in and killing their teachers, killing their fellow students? Isn't wisdom crying that something isn't working? Wisdom's crying that there's something wrong here with this. Can't we open our eyes and see that something's wrong here? Something's wrong. Well, we can't preach to all them. But tonight, the same wisdom cries out for our individual lives, that we would wake up and let wisdom speak to us and say that this is what I'm doing in my life. Is it bringing me peace? It isn't bringing me what I really want in my life. It's bringing me heartache and sorrows. It brings that kind of stuff into my life. And I need some wisdom. I need some help in my life. The Donner Party ended up losing their stock, ended up in some cabins in the Sierra Nevadas with feet of snow falling, and out of food. They sent some brave souls to try to make it over to the other side and get some food, and they did. They was able to go out, get kind of a rescue party. They come back, and when they got back, this is what this is known for. It's known for cannibalism. On the way, they had the ones that left the cabin to go get help had two Indian guides. They didn't die and get eat. They got killed and eat. By God-fearing people? Supposedly, got to that kind of a place. They got back to the cabin, and it was a terrible scene. They got there, and the bones of children were still in the pots. To live, these people had resorted to eating the flesh of those that had passed on and on. But way back in the distance places, wisdom cried, "Don't go that way. There is destruction." But the story is not ended there. Do you know the people that did that never was right? They were insane. They went insane over it. But wisdom tried to keep them from that place. There was another famous story in history. Ever hear of the Titanic? We're going to build us a ship that can't be sunk. You ever hear of those kind of things? So they build a luxury liner. Beautiful. Luxurious. Big plated sides. Made the brags. Never be sunk. Never be sunk. But we know the story. Do you know wisdom cries against your boast in life? It cries against it. You'll never prosper with that. Titanic on its maiden voyage. Iceberg's in the area, somebody calls. Be careful, iceberg's in the area. Do you know to the soul, no matter how long, no matter how many witnesses of God, no matter how much anointing power, no matter how many answered prayers, no matter how many times you've seen, so to speak, the dead raise or the blind recover their sight, or no matter what, that soul will always consider itself needy before God. To them that thinketh they stand, take heed, lest they fall. Do you know that scripture was particularly talking about the aged and those that had had experiences? That had every reason to think they stand? And that stood the test of time and went through many trials and difficulties and all that, was warned to take heed lest you fall? Wisdom cries, be careful. Be careful in the treacherous waters of life. Be careful. There's icebergs in the area, they called. Be careful. Ah, we're in an unsinkable ship. It ended in disaster. That didn't have to be a disaster. Slow down. You know what they was trying for? A speed record. That's what they were. They had the fastest, the most luxurious, the best ship ever built, and they was trying to show that it could get across the North Atlantic and back. And they could go to these different places, and it was a matter of pride that we had built this ship, and this is the way it was. But there's icebergs in the area. Slow down. Slow down. Wisdom cries today in our street. It cries. Do you hear it crying? That if we partake of the direction that this world's gone and take on the way and the motion of the world, which is called worldliness, and take on the aura and the idea of the world and take on what it's trying to do, actually it means the arrangements, the cosmos, the arrangements of the world, the way they arrange things and do things. Do you know if we take that on, wisdom's crying against that. You'll never succeed in it in God. You'll never be happy in it. It'll never work for you. Take heed. Tonight, the world isn't the way to go. Jesus is the way to go. Hate evil, hate wrong, hate those kind of things. Our world is becoming so, and Lord help us, we can hear it so much that we callous to. Abortion is wrong. It's wrong. God isn't pleased with it. Wisdom cries against us. You say, it stands alone. No, it doesn't stand alone. It sets in the heart of people. It sets in the minds and hearts of people of the value of human life. The value that God has on human life. This world is promoted for many, many generations now that we aren't a creation of God. We're a creation of chance. That's wrong. And wisdom cries against it. You know, the first time I wasn't raised in any kind of religious way, and the first time I ever heard the idea that man is in a fallen state, I said, duh. I didn't have to. I know I'm in a fallen state, okay? I knew I was in a fallen state. The first time I ever heard of it, I didn't argue against it. I said, well, absolutely. I'm in a fallen state. I don't even like me. I don't like the things I've done. I don't like those kind of things. Yeah, I'm in a... Yes, and I see all mankind like that. Who can be trusted? Who won't lie to you if they get a chance or need to? Who will live above those kind of things? My whole world was full of fallen people. Wisdom cries, you're fallen. The world's fallen, and we need a redeemer. We need a helper. We need somebody to lift us up. Of course, wisdom cries those things to us. Wisdom cries that evil and wickedness is going to destroy you. It cries in the streets. Do you know it doesn't take a great mind, a philosopher, or some great intellect to understand that you shouldn't smoke a cigarette. It'll kill you. It'll bind you up. It'll cause you to... I know people that it is so... I thank God. And it ain't because of me. God dealt. I thank God that I don't have to go out in sub-zero weather to smoke a cigarette. It's cold out there. What I do, I can do inside. I thank God for that. It doesn't take intellect for me to say that alcohol has hurt people's lives. I've seen it firsthand. I've seen families destroyed by it. I've seen little children go in such want and need, not only of natural things, but of natural love and tenderness and care. I've seen them lack all those things and be raised so dysfunctional because people are using alcohol. It doesn't take a scientist to figure these things out. Wisdom cries. Can't you look and see what happened to your father and your uncles? Can't you look and see what's happened? Wisdom's true. And it keeps on speaking. It speaks of the order of things in this world. If you do these things, folks, you're going to have to reap the benefit of doing these things. It's as natural to happen as anything is. It will come to pass, and every time. You don't have to... Some people say we ought to legalize marijuana. I shake my head and says, wisdom's crying. Oh, I don't know about in a country and what its legalities are, but the use of it is wisdom's crying against it. Wisdom's crying against it. Do you know what it says? It's a gateway drug. It'll lead you farther. Folks, you can't stop where you think you can. See, it'll take you farther than you ever wanted to go. And you think you'll pledge, or you go in here, or you just look, or you just touch, and before long you're into something, and homes is destroyed, and your wife's gone, and things are ruined. And wisdom has been crying, don't go. Don't go, young man, to that place. Don't go to that woman that waits on the corner. If you read on, you'll see that there's a woman waiting out there, and she's seductive, and she's got big eyes, and she's got real needs, and she's looking at you, young man. Don't go. Don't go. It's a snare and a trap to you. You'll never get out of it. You'll have hurts all your life, and it's a snare to you. I'll go farther than that. I'm taught by the Lord to love all people, and I do, and I love their souls, and no matter what it is, Jesus died for them and loves them. But this new alternative lifestyle is not wisdom. Oh, you don't know what the generation's coming on, and where it's going to go, and what it's going to cause, and the dysfunction that it's going to cause, and the breakdown of things that it's going to... You don't know. And wisdom will cry. It's crying against all those things. Lord, help us. In our lives, we have an order of things. And that order that God created the whole universe goes for everything we do in this life, too. There's an order to things that is as predictable. I've seen young people come around and come and go. I've seen them come to the altars and weep in their youth. I've seen them do that up in their lives, and I've seen them come up to the adult hood and be swayed, and my prayers go out for them, every one. But I've seen them come to that time and with wisdom crying. The wisdom of years, the wisdom of order, the wisdom of the multitudes that have went before, with many examples that's laid before them, they'll choose terrible paths. They'll choose not to serve the Lord and say, it won't happen to me. I know that once we put our heart into something, it's hard. And we warn young ladies, young boys, be careful with your heart. Be careful. Be wise with your heart. Listen to wisdom. It'll be the rest of your life. Be careful. Listen to wisdom. How often I've looked and seen this happen in a young girl I'm thinking of comes to that kind of a place, and she turns her back on the wholesome things. And she goes into the world, and there's always a young man. There always is. There's a young man. Oh, he's mad about her. He'd die for her. Gallant. Why, he'd travel the country over for her. He'd do anything for her until the I do's said. And without background, without anything, in his, without substance in his life, without hearing the words of wisdom, go into these things all with dreamy eyes. I believe with all my heart that they think of growing old together. Sure, don't they? I have. That's the way I approached it. I want to grow old with my wife. I want to see what the finer things are. I want to see what it's like. Now, I think they do too, don't they? Before long, there's children involved. And then here it comes. They decide, we're going to do this. And they decide, we're going to go here. And they decide, we're going to be a little loose here. And this guy decides he's going to do a little here. And then she's off here doing this, he's off here doing that. Before long, you hear the rift, the fan. Then many, many, many times, they get back together. You say, good, they're back together. And then they're fighting again. And then they're all fight again. And then they're back together. And ultimately, he's gone. She's gone. And you got these little children. Without dad or without mom, without foundations. You know how hard it is to reach those children? Without that? Do you know how often, brethren, let me tell you something. God has given us the great privilege of representing the Father. How's our children going to know, they'll really know the Father and His love if He can't? If you don't see it in their own fathers, they get a distorted view of what God really is. Talked to a lady not long ago that had a very, very distorted upbringing. Her father would beat her, and was cruel to her and mean to her, and she grew up. And do you know her? She told us that her main problem, she had a hard time seeing God as love. She could not see Him as love. She always, and she put it on others the same way. Everything was a stern. God was stern and binding, holding. Because her father never loved her. And never gave her the example of it. And the only thing she could get out of God was this stern being that held you to the line on everything. That's not my father. My father, my daddy would give me the back, all the shirt off his back. He'd loan me money if it was his last money. You know, I've always seen God different. I've seen God, you know, God is the one that, when all else fails in my life, loves me. God's the one that wants to pick me up and help me. Wisdom's crying to you, brother. Wisdom's crying to you. Stand up and be a father. Be the father that your children need. Be there for them. Help them. Bring good things into their life. Show them what God is. It's the best way chance they'll have. It's the best chance they'll have. It's our duties to do it. But wisdom cries. I'm thinking of another young lady that I know. I saw this in her life. I heard the stories. This young lady in her life saw fighting and squabbling. And calling the police. That little face pressed to the window, looked out and saw the lights flashing in the middle of the night. The police called. Mom calls on dad. Dad's drunk. Mom's drunk. They're doing this, that. I saw, heard the stories over and over. They called the police. This was going on. Somebody in the community was doing this. Lights were flashing. The police was called last night. Over and over and over. This young girl sees this kind of things. It wasn't strange at all. To me, to hear the story. She's a grown woman now. Got up and she got a child of her own now. Has a boyfriend and heard the story. Had to call the police on him last night. The old vicious cycle continues. And why won't it? Isn't it an order, isn't it? Isn't it the order? Doesn't it have to happen? Isn't it the order? Isn't wisdom crying here? Isn't that always the seeds of that? She got it. She's doing the same thing. The only life that she ever knew was right there in that kind of a life. And now she's the one getting beat up on, calling the police, and there's another little face now. Pressed up against the window. Looking out the window. And this is what it sees. And this is what life is. This is what life does. And it'll end that way for you too. Because it's the order of wisdom. So wisdom cries, are you happy? You can be. Is there dysfunction in your life? There won't have to be. All you got to do is get in this order that the Lord made. And it changes the outcome. It's wisdom. If I don't do the same things, I don't suffer the same results. I can't do it myself. Wisdom points me. When I try to do it and come up, failure, failure, failure. Oh, Marty's a failure. Until I met the Lord. A failure. Could never do it for myself. Still can't do it for myself. But I got one that can help me to be able to do it right. And that's the one that I look to. And wisdom cries, Marty, you failed and you failed. And you got a nature about you and a way about you. And if you go that way, you're going to end up just like those that went before you that you saw. Yeah, I had a grandpa like that. I had a grandpa. Folks, this is what's my heritage. I've got to break it. Or I'm going to end up the same way. I had a grandpa. His name was Arlie Edgel. They called him Edge. Known as Edge Cutler. Had a big family. There was, my mom had 11 siblings. Big family. My grandpa didn't care about them. It was a strange thing. He could go to town and be the center of attention, I heard. People liked him. He was a friendly man. Go to the hunting camps and be the cook, and everybody loved him. A good man, in that sense. But he'd go to the hunting camps and leave his family without food, and go for weeks. Go up and eat and do it, and didn't care what the family was doing. It made a lot of resentment in the family. Made a lot of resentments. And you know, you start out with these little boys that you tell them what to do, and if they don't do it, you can swat them around a little bit, and you can, of course, you're a big man. But you know, I grew up and heard a lot of grandmas in the kitchen, company's in there, grandpa's in the living room, the men's in there talking. And grandma's a cussing and swearing with her ear stuck towards her, and every time grandpa would say something, grandma would say, listen to the old man in there telling that story, ain't telling it right. I was a little boy. Grandpa's in the living room listening with the ear cocked towards her. Well, there's no woman in there. Ain't telling it right. I'm grumbling back and forth. Despised one another, hate one another. Big old uncles, they ended up sick big men, 6'3", 6'4", big old men, come in, hug their mom, getting ready to leave, go back home, come in there to my grandpa, come in there and slap him on the head a few times. The old man, take some of this. Bout him around a little bit. Him just a grumbling and a cussing, and slap him around a little bit and started laughing and go out the door laughing, go home. No regret. That's the old man. That's the old man over there. That's what kind of heritage I have, folks. And I know what you're saying. Who would want it? But who can help it? Do you know I find things in my life that if it wasn't for the Lord, I'd be just that way? But wisdom cried. If you plant the same seeds, Marty, you're going to end up with the same fruit. Absolutely. If you go the same way, you're going to have the same thing. Oh, a couple of his younger children somewhat had respect for him, and the rest of them called him the old man. If they talked to him at all, it was in disrespect. And the worst thing that you could say in my family is when they called you Edge Cutlip. Why, you're Edge Cutlip. They meant that in the strongest slur that they could have. You couldn't say nothing worse than calling somebody like that. But wisdom cried. And it says, if you go that way, you'll have the same results. It's an order. It's a way of life. You're going to have to do something, or you're going to end up that way. My uncle, or my grandpa, ended up putting a 12-gauge shotgun right there. He hollered at my uncle, got him out of bed so he could see it for some reason. John, get up! John got up and looked around, and he pulled the trigger. And you can imagine what the scene was. That was the end. Well, I'd never do that. Yes, I would, because there's an order to that. And if you go the same road, you end up in the same place. And wisdom cries for the generations before. Many, many years. I asked my mom one time, was it always that way, Mom? And this is just a year ago. I wanted to know something about it. I said, was it always that way? Did they always hate one another? And she said, no. Said, Marty, when I was a little, it shocked me. She said, when I was a little girl, we went to church. And your grandpa played a guitar and sung. Grandpa went to church? I never. What happened? He never heard wisdom crying. Wisdom cried, but he never heard it. And folks, you and I will go the same inevitable path. You think your marriage is secure? It is. On the right path. You think that your mind is secure? I believe the Lord wants us to be of a sound mind. I think it is on the right path. I think that, Lord help us. Look at the world around us. Can't you see it? The wisdom's crying and nobody's hearing it. We've got all these smart politicians. And I sit in amazement sometimes of how little they know about life, about people, about leading a large group of people to their better place. They act like they don't know a thing. But wisdom still cries. It says she standeth in the top of high places. That's where she can be heard. By the way, in places in the past. She crieth at the gates, at the entering of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. It says, unto you, O men. I don't think that's really gender specific there. I think what it's saying, that wisdom's crying to the fallen race of Adam. It is the necessary motivation for mankind to have. Be wise. Be wise tonight. Understand the orders of God and the things that He's put in life. I'm thinking somebody told this not long ago about their daddy told them one time when they was little, give them some bean seeds. They had a bag of bean seeds. And told them they plant these beans, give them a way to plant the beans, and told them, said, you plant these beans. And you're not through until all the beans are planted. So they planted along the beans for a while. Then they decided, well, he didn't say how to plant them. And he'd never know anyway. So they took the bag of beans and there was a stump. And they went over there at that stump and they dug around that stump a little bit. And they poured the beans in around the stump. And they covered it up with dirt and went on their way thinking, Dad will never know now because they hid the beans. And he won't know that they didn't plant the beans. And went away and it wasn't too long that the beans told on them. And you know they always will. They always will. And they come up and Dad sees all these beans around the stump. And now he knows the children didn't do their job because the fruit was there of their lives. The Scripture says God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he also reap. And it will always be true. I want to look at this end of this chapter. You can read the whole chapter. I want to look at the end of it. The 34th verse says, oh, it says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Understand the ways of God. It's talking about a student. It's talking about a student that sits at the doors of school. At the place of learning. And can't wait for the doors to open. That's what it's talking about. to know about somebody that knows that they have a need of understanding and can't get in there to be able to learn. I'll be honest with you, in my school days, that wasn't me. I regret to say that I look back at my years, I hated school. I hated it. I hated being confined in it. I hated doing it. I done it only because I had to do it. I done it. I wasted, folks. I wasted. I was not wise. I was very, very unwise in what I done. I had to be there anyway. If I could do it over, I had to be there anyway. I hated school. I actually graduated high school. I actually did graduate. I half-cheated my way through. I wonder if I should give the diploma, but I don't know. I half-cheated my way through, and I half-done the work. It wasn't that I was simple. I was lazy in work, not in everything, in schoolwork. I hated it. I didn't want to do it. I had to have a typing class. I didn't need the credit, and so I didn't pass it. I purposely fooled around in typing class, and the teacher would say, I'll pass you if you try. I actually got to the point that I was pretty good with F, G, F, G, F, G, F, G. G, 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 F, 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 G, F, G. But when it's come time to typing, I was like, I don't know. It was like 20 words a minute with 60 errors. I never tried. I couldn't do it. And I kept saying, it's not necessary. It's not necessary. I don't need to do it. I'm going to graduate anyway. Lo and behold, I get out of school. And what do I find in front of me? A keyboard. And now every sense, keyboards, keyboards, keyboards. Everything you do, every place you go, keyboards, keyboards, laptops, keyboards, all these keyboards. I can't type a lick unless you want me to do F, G, F, G, F, G. That's what I get. That's foolish. But I'm going to tell you, young people, it's foolish. Wisdom cries against the wasting of our time like that. I had to be there an hour a day. Every day, I had to be there. Could have learned so much. My school that I went to, Webster County High School, had a great vo-tech right in the school. Got out of school right there with welding. 3-year welding. You got out of there with a certificate. Carpentry, mechanics, all that stuff there. And I graduate and come out of there and get a job and didn't know how to light a torch. Didn't know how to set a welder. All those years just wasted. Wasting my time and my years away. Folks, it's not wise. It's not wise. God, give us some time. And wisdom is crying, redeem the time. Redeem the time. You don't have that much. Make the best of it. Do the best you can. You know, just recently we have time. We homeschool our children, and we have they get Fridays off. And I was amazed that when I started slowing down and we said, hey, let's take a day here and go spend with the children doing something here and there. I found some gold that I had been missing. Just wasting away these things, and all of a sudden, got to spend these times at the river with my children. Got to spend this time at this place called Bear Town. It's all these rocks and layers of rocks and all these things that we got to do, and it was so rich and valuable and so much enjoyment with the children. It's like, what, all this time wasting? Lord, help us to redeem the time. I know you can't do that kind of stuff all the time, but folks, the Lord give us time. Oh, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Lord, teach me. Teach me by the lessons of life. Teach me by the events of life. Help me to understand and see people. Help me to understand myself. Help me to understand and have wisdom on the next step. I don't know about the workings of the universe. I know God made it and He done it good. And I know that it's an order. But Lord, help me to have an order in my life. Help me to order it and understand it. 35th verse says, for whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But listen to this scripture. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Oh, how true. How true. I could tell you endless disastrous results of people that got to a certain place and left out wisdom. And didn't find wisdom in the matter, the ability to see the results of my action and where the years are going to take me. I had an uncle that right during the time that most of my mom's family, my dad's family, they're all there, the different ones, was having all my cousins. There was several of us. There was four in my family. Another one had four. Another one had four. There's all these my cousins on these sides. One of the uncles, he had five children. They were beautiful children, too. And my uncle would rather drink than have his children. And his wife would rather drink than have the children. And the children ended up, I never knew my cousins, and one of them was my age, one was a little older, some was younger, right in our age group. I never knew them till just a few years ago. They knew of them. They was tossed from one abusive situation and home to another. They tried to stay together over the years and And you know what? To the amazement of everybody, when they got up and old, they kind of was trying to stick together, had a lot of problems. They wanted to get back together with their dad. He kind of tried to quit drinking. So some of them kind of give him a chance. I was amazed at this, but not really either, because there was a longing. There was a hurt and a longing. So they started coming back round and giving him a chance, and you know what he did? Oh, they were supposed to meet together. They was going to come to see him again, come, and he didn't show up. He went off on a drunk. And that was the end of that. They went on and said, he'll never change. He'll never change. They that find me, he says, findest life. Wisdom's life. Because what wisdom says is it teaches us of ourselves and teaches us that we need a great Redeemer to take care of those problems. I ain't able to take care of my habits and problems, and neither are you. You're not big enough to do it. You're not big enough to create in you a new heart and a new being. You're not able to do those things, but we recognize it. And Lord, we say, help me to be able to overcome those things. That was such a heartbreak to the family after all those years to see that happen and then them and go away again. And I looked at that and said, what a shame. Wisdom cries. And still crying. And tonight, do you know that there is multitudes that's going to go down the same path, expecting a different result? It'll never happen to me, they say. That's going right down the same old path that everyone's went down. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. He's losing out his own soul. At the end of it all, without that, it says, all they that hate me loveth death. Now, it's impossible. It's not true in the literal sense. But the term love and hate in the Bible is not the way we generally think about it. To love death is not really meaning the emotional part of it. It's meaning the valuable part of it. There's people that would rather do wrong. Love sin, and the consequences is death, and love it so much that they ruin their own souls. There was a woman, just in closing, there was a woman up home. Her name was Denise. Years before I ever got saved, she came to a tent meeting like this. Brother Sammons was holding a tent meeting. She come to a tent meeting a lot like this, and ended up in some way, I don't know if she made her way to the altar, but anyway, she found the blessings of the Lord. And endeavored to live for God. She had had a up and down life. She had a troubled life. She endeavored to live for the Lord. It lasted for a while, and then she ended up going off. And she got involved in what, to use a prudent, be prudent here, she was a lady of the evening. That's the way she lived. But she was also a very troubled soul. And she would call us. She'd come to our meeting. She come to our altar. She was high when she come or drunk, but she come. She wanted desperately relief of a terrible torment. The woman was tormented in her spirit all the time. Tormented. I got under a burden for her. She would call for prayer. Please pray for me. She became suicidal. She wanted prayer. She wanted help. She begged the Lord. She begged for us to pray that the Lord would get her help. I begged the Lord. I fasted. I begged the Lord. I told the Lord, Lord, this is exactly who you died for. This is who you come for. Lord, I wanted to see something delivered. So I wanted to see this woman with help. Got the word? She killed herself. I'm going to tell you, I was troubled. Prayed. Lord, why? Why couldn't there be help for her? Why? You know what the Lord revealed? And this was true of her. When the Lord revealed it to me, I knew it was true. She hated the consequences of sin. It made her guilty. It made her dirty to herself. It made her dirty in the sight of other people in her mind. She was tormented all the time. But she never hated sin. She never hated her sin. She only hated the consequences. And it brought it back to some of her requests to me that she would say, she'd say, Brother Marty, just pray that the Lord would give me my right mind back. Just pray that the Lord would give me relief of my torment. She would never really pray that the Lord would deliver her. That she hated sin. She never made that kind of a comment. And the Lord witnessed to my heart. There was nothing I could do. She loved sin. Do you know wisdom cries tonight that you can love sin? Wisdom cries tonight that you can give yourself so fully to things, folks, that you won't want to let it go. It will be claws in you hanging on. I would like to say, everyone, don't start smoking. You won't have to quit. Oh, you look and say it's appealing, but it's got claws on it. And when they get in there, they're hard to let go. And that's the way sin is. And the wisdom wants to cry to you young people tonight, follow a good path. Don't allow the enemy to take advantage of you in that kind of a way. Follow a good path. Wisdom says, look at the paths and see where they end, and then you'll know. Wisdom's crying in the streets tonight. Wisdom's crying at the gate tonight. Wisdom's saying, please, look, just look and understand of those that's taken the path before. Look at those that's turned their back on God. Look at those that fought against. Who was that famous woman that fought against God, fought against prayer in school and all? Remember that woman? She ended up murdered and off in some crime. Look at the paths that people take. Then look at the death of the righteous. Look at the way the righteous go. Wisdom cries and gives us a choice. I set before you tonight two choices. On one's life, the other's death. Make the choice. You pray for me.